May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Today's officially the last day to say that. Epiphany, the Feast of Epiphany, is actually tomorrow on January the 6th, but we celebrate the arrival of the wise men today, because I'm not sure I could get you guys to come back on Monday. It's funny, the story, the Epiphany holiday, you know, because it's always on the 6th, it's not always on a Sunday, it's in the middle of the week, that we often lose sight of the story of the Magi, or they feel sort of tacked on, at least to me sometimes, at the end of a very long and beautiful season. But this year, they sort of came to me and said, don't leave us out. So I encourage you to look again at the front of your bulletin, at the photo there. Last Sunday, I had a very rare Sunday off when I wasn't here with you all, and I wanted to worship someplace special, so I drove up to St. Peter's in Beverly, where Reverend Christopher is the current rector there. And I had never been in the church. It's a beautiful church. And I sat about two-thirds of the way back on that side. And when I looked over, just looking around to see what was going on, they had multiple boxes of tissues and lots of hand sanitizer. That was kind of everywhere. And I was noting that. And then when I looked just to my side, there was this radiator cover with the three wise men. And for some reason, it just delighted me. It just delighted me to see these guys. Now, of course, if you look at them, you know that their posture is the posture of how they're going to be when they're up by the creche. So the one in the front who's kneeling and his head is kind of turned in a funny way, you know, he's supposed to be positioned at the creche in a certain way so that he's looking at the baby Jesus. And the same with the second one and the third one. And, you know, as ours are, they're sort of shaped so that they make sense in the creche. But what delighted me about this was they're not at the creche. They're on their way. They were two-thirds of the way back in the church, you know, a week and a half ago. They were on their way. And I just got captivated by their positions a little bit. Because we're always on the way, too. And sometimes we might be down on our knees. The one on the front, he's got whatever his gift is kind of over his shoulder, like, why was this a good idea to carry this heavy thing all this way? The one in the middle, sort of slumped over, maybe thinking the same thing, I'm really tired of carrying this. And the one in the back, he just looks a little like, I'm not sure why I'm here anyway. I mean, they really do have if you take them out of their context, they seem more human in a way. So what I wanted to suggest today, or sort of invite you to think about, is they may be, other than Jesus, they may be the most important or at least relatable characters in the story for us, even though we don't think too much about them except for just today. We don't know a whole lot about who they were. They're called magi, which means magicians. So they're magicians, they're philosophers, they're astrologers. They study the stars looking for signs. The one thing we do know for sure about who they were is they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. They were not part of the people of Israel. They're from away. They're from really far away. And But they were also called wise, and we could have an interesting conversation about why the gospel writer calls them wise. But I think what they were was a lot like us. They were people who had a lot of tools at their disposal. All sorts of charts about how to read the sky, all sorts of ideas about the meaning of life or how things worked. Clearly they had money because they brought expensive gifts. And so they were people who had a lot of resources and tools to navigate their world, to take off on a long journey, and they made a lot of assumptions about the way the world worked. Because even though when they saw this sign about a king to be born, they went immediately to Jerusalem, because that's where Herod was. That's where the king was. That's where, that was the center of reality, right? The center of power. And so they would, I don't know, they might have thought the new baby was a child of Herod. Who knows what they thought? So they went there, sort of like we do, right? We make assumptions with all of the tools that we have about how the world works, and we use them, and most of the time it works. And most of the time, we're really grateful for, you know, the Google search and for Siri, who can get us anywhere without getting lost, and all of the knowledge and tools that we have. And so we're a lot like them. So they go and they talk to Herod. And here's a little tiny side note, just because I can't resist. They say, "Where is this child who was born king of the Jews?" Anybody, does that little phrase remind anybody of anything? It's the only other time in the Bible where Jesus is called King of the Jews. Here and at the end, right? When Pilate makes that sign, ironically. So just a little thing to note, right? When we hear that again, when we hear that at Easter, remember, ah, those wise men, they said it first. Anyway, that's a different rabbit hole. So, the word epiphany and the season epiphany means revealing, revelation. So the point of this story of the Magi is all of the assumptions that they come with, something new is going to be revealed. We kind of know that going into the story. So they go. Then they kneel, like ours there. And they do bring these gifts. Just a word about the gifts. The gifts are kind of silly, right? For a baby in a barn or in a house with a poor mother. They're gifts that rich people would bring to an actual king. But this is what they've got, because this is what they thought they were doing. So they lay down the gifts. There's other sermons about the importance of the gifts. But for today, they lay down these gifts. And what they see is the light of the world. All of the things that they took for granted, all of their knowledge, all of their wealth, all of their power, all of their curiosity that got them to go on this trip is focused on looking and seeing the face of this child. So the good news, friends, the good news in this story is that they come bringing gifts, but in fact, He is the gift to them. God gives us God's self in this child. All the other stuff doesn't matter at all. There they are. They see the child. They rejoice. We're told they're overjoyed at seeing the star. The star in the sky, the light of the world right there before them. So I want to be with them. I want to gaze upon that child. And we do that. You're doing it right now. We have this kind of odd creche, and I was thinking it's something that has been so lovingly tended for years by Marge Stetson of blessed memory. She died a year ago. She would take home any of the figures that would get a little dinged or paint would peel off, and she would just bring them back to life. And so for 2 weeks, we gaze on this scene and we enjoy seeing it and loving it and loving telling the story. But I think the point, I think the bigger point is that every time we come to this altar, he's there. He gives himself as a gift in bread and wine, with love and healing and forgiveness every day, every time you come here. So no matter how you approach, on your knees with a heavy burden over your shoulder, on your knees, tired, or like the third guy, kind of distracted and saying, what am I even doing here? The gift is there. There he is. The Christ child is here for each one of us all the time. Thanks be to God.